an MLB insider. It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great. Sorry, I'm driving, but on I-84, and there was a bad accident, so I couldn't get off the interstate for you guys to do this.
Oh, that's
wow,
okay.
Accident on I-84, that's different.
Well, it's on the way to between Bristol, Connecticut, and home.
We had
a big meeting tonight talking about the baseball season.
Well, you know what? Let me throw you like the big sports talk question of the day. What's a better dynasty, the Patriots or the Yankees? What do you think, Buster?
Wow!
Jump right in.
You know, I'd have to say the Patriots. I'm a baseball guy, but when you can, and I covered the first Super Bowl that Tom Brady played in back in 2001, and I remember the debate going up into the start of that game, should Belichick go to Bledsoe? Is Bledsoe going to be okay? But for Brady to do that in 2001 and then to have a situation now, you know, 18 years later where he wins, that's incredible to me that he's been able to do that.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing stuff. And, you know, the Yankees, they were tremendous over a six-year period, but it was just 6 years. It wasn't 17, 18 years.
Yeah.
I know, I've been trying to tell these people, but anyway. So, Julian Edelman gets MVP, misses the first four games, a PED
yep.
punishment. I mean, what do you make of the way football does its PED policy? Because obviously in baseball, in a lot of cases, you miss half a season and the playoffs.
Yeah, I really feel like, that, first off, I think I know from talking with a lot of baseball players, they feel like that the policy is appropriate. I mean, they push for that. The union, a lot of guys in the union think that, hey, if one guy decides to get outside of the lines and get an advantage over the rest of us, I don't want that guy playing in the postseason. I want that guy having major penalty. But, you know, we know sort of how the unions, the respective unions look at it. I think that the baseball writers should look at what happened in the Super Bowl, look at the public reaction, assess that, and the 40% block that has said, you know, indicated for 7 years, I'm never voting for Bonds. I've never voted for Clemens. I think they kind of need to get over themselves a little bit. You know, we know this, as far as Major League Baseball, Bonds and Clemens, McGuire, they're all members of good standing. They work for teams. Hall of Fame, as far as they're concerned, they're members in good standing. They put them on the ballot. You just have this hard block of 40% of the writers saying no. And shoot, look at the way that Super Bowl was covered. The stuff with Edelman was never mentioned.
Yeah.
It was amazing, you know, how different the two sports are treated by the media.
Buster, lots of conversation out today about the dialogue between Major League Baseball and the Players Union. ESPN's reported it. Entities outside of ESPN have commented on it. Let's start with the potential rule changes. What do you think about the DH going to the NL? It sounds like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
The question is when.
Yeah, I would agree with that. In fact, we talked about it on your show last summer.
Yeah.
This was inevitable. To me, when you think back to the change in the rules in the home plate collisions, we look back at that play with Buster Posey where his leg shattered. That changed everything. Ruben Tejada, Chase Utley slide. They changed the rules around second base. I really think that the Masahiro Tanaka double hamstring pull when he was running the bases, that sort of illuminated all for a lot of baseball executives. Because the next day, I remember talking to so many who were saying, yeah, this is ridiculous. We have these pitchers, we want to protect the assets, and then we ask them to hit and run the bases, things they're not really trained to do. So I think that's inevitable. I think it's inevitable that you're going to have some sort of a pitch clock. But my biggest takeaway, the fact that the two sides now have exchanged ideas, management and the union, my God, at least they're talking. Like, that is a great sign that after what seems to be a situation is getting worse and worse and worse, they're finally at least exchanging ideas, and that's an important first step because I don't think anybody would benefit from a strike in 2021.
Buster Olney joins us every week on The Huddle thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont off Hercules Drive in Colchester. They are more than just truck and trailer sales. Buster, you mentioned the Tanaka play kind of being the impetus for this to get going with the DH to the NL. How much of it, though, is also reactionary to the freeze out of the free agent market? Do the players' union look at this and say, hey, let's open up the market and get another hitter in an NL lineup to get some of these free agents a place to go. Does that have anything to do with it?
Well, it's got a little bit to do with it because at least the union's asking the question, but they've wanted the DH for years and years and years, you know, to get an extra 15 jobs for veteran hitters, you know, a guy like an Adam Jones, give him a better chance to be valued and to get a contract with some team. But the impetus for change, the real impetus for change, I think is players have become more expensive, and front offices are assessing how these guys are used. As I mentioned, just in the way they want to protect catchers and middle infielders, the driving force is the fact that general managers are saying, we don't like seeing pitchers get injured on these stupid outlier plays when they extend themselves and roll an ankle running to first base, or you know, when they swing and strain a ribcage muscle in the one interleague game that they're going to bat in. I think that's what's really driving this conversation.
Well, that brings us to the other possible change, Buster, where you have to have, if you're a pitcher, you may have to face a minimum of three batters. Wow. I mean, what happens if there's two outs in the ninth and the pitcher gets hurt? Does that mean you need two relievers now, a reliever that when you're up from one to three runs and then another one when you're up four through six runs? How does this change baseball now?
It potentially has huge dominoes going all over the place.
Yes.
From this change, and we talked about them in the meeting today, how, you know, that we always used to joke about, well, if you're going to have a child, have them throw left-handed because they can pitch in the big league till they're 50.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, they're lefty specialists that won't be, if they put this rule in place, that won't be looked at the same way. The way teams draft and develop relievers, it won't be the same because you want to make sure if you have to leave a guy in for at least three batters, that he can get out both lefties and righties. But, the biggest thing, I think, is just the enormity of the indication for Major League Baseball that they don't like how all these pitching changes have taken place, where they don't want to see games where you see a parade of relievers, and this is a step in the direction of trying to clear that up. And I agree with that. We've talked in the past about how, that 18-inning game, Red Sox and the Dodgers in the World Series, besides Nathan Eovaldi, what do you guys remember from that game? Not that much. It wasn't an inspiring game because there were so many strikeouts and so many relievers. And the biggest, I think that what Major League Baseball is driving at is trying to improve offense. And they're trying to prevent teams from just running out, 10 relievers in a given game.
Yeah.
I remember Larry King about that game. Still there in the 18. I was so impressed. Buster,
there you go.
Yeah. Aaron Judge, I think it was TMZ, was talking the other day about how he would be willing to change positions for Bryce Harper if he had to.
Right.
Do you think there's any chance the Yankees could get sort of re-involved in this discussion?
I'd be totally shocked, and I'd put that under the category of what else can he say?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's asked the question, would you change positions for Bryce Harper?
Right.
And if he says no, he knows he's going to look like a jerk. Aaron Judge is smart, so he says, sure, no problem. But no, I don't think so. The bottom line is that the Yankees, I think, are leery, like a lot of teams, about getting involved in these super long-term deals. And quite frankly, Bryce Harper, while he'd be great for the Yankees in 2019, as time would go on, it would become very difficult, I think, to sort of, knowing that Aaron Judge someday has to get paid big money, knowing that they owe Stanton 9 years on his contract and about $230 million, it'd be very difficult to pay Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton all in your same outfield DH slots.
Buster, Bryce Harper met with the Giants last night. It actually sounds like it's kind of serious at this point. What are you hearing?
Yeah, we'll wait and see. I think a lot of teams now are, I wrote a column in the fall. I think that on paper he would fit the Giants better than any other franchise because, they're going to be bad for a couple of years. He would give Giants fans a reason to go to the ballpark at a time when they're going to be restructuring the club. He certainly has a type of power, even in, that ballpark, Oracle Park. It's no longer AT&T. Have the power to hit the ball into the water, and that would be really cool. And the Giants know firsthand what a free agent left-handed hitting slugger can do for the franchise because they lived it with Barry Bonds. That all said, it's been interesting in the last 72 hours talk with agents and executives about sort of his late arrival to the free agent conversations, you know, with the Padres and now the Giants. And some of the executives I talked with said, if you're Scott Boras and you represent Harper, you're Dan Lozada, you represent Manny Machado, it's almost a bad thing that these teams are jumping in because it makes you look more desperate. Like, it's a desperate situation, and let's face it, the Padres get involved, maybe if the Giants get involved, they're looking for a bargain because they're seeing these guys hang out in the market, and they're hoping that the asking price is dropped.
Buster Olney of ESPN joins us every Wednesday on The Huddle at 5 o'clock. Thanks to our friends over at Lucky's Trailer Sales in Peterbilt, Vermont, home to New England's largest selection of trailers online at luckystrailers.com. Buster, sticking with the Giants and our theme of the Giants and the Yankees, you had a really interesting, I don't know if it's a trade proposal, but you had a really interesting idea about a possibility of a Jacoby Ellsbury for Johnny Cueto trade between the two, and I loved it. I was all in on it.
Yeah, and so here's the deal. First off, the Giants need about three outfielders, and they need someone who can play center field because their Steven Duggar, their center fielder, had shoulder surgery. They don't know if he's going to be okay at the beginning of the year. So they did call the Yankees and ask about Jacoby Ellsbury, who obviously is available. He's owed $48 million for the next 2 years. And this potentially, and I know I've talked to sources who have, you know, the knowledge of the thinking of both sides. Both sides would be looking for bad contract swap. And the guy who makes the most sense on paper might be Johnny Cueto. Had Tommy John surgery last year. So if you're the Giants, and Johnny Cueto is owed about $68, $70 million over the next 3 years, if you're the Giants, the upside is that you'd get a functional player in 2019 who could help you in Ellsbury, and you would have less money owed. And if you're the Yankees, the upside would be to get Jacoby Ellsbury off your roster. You have a glut of outfielders, and then when Johnny Cueto came back in 2020, 2021, then he presumably would be back from his Tommy John surgery and give you a starting pitcher possibility. And on top of that, if you're the Yankees, in 2019, remember, a lot of his contract is going to be paid off in insurance, and that could even out the dollars a little bit. So there would be motivation on both sides. I still think it's an absolute long shot that it happens, because it's so complicated, and Ellsbury has a full no trade clause, and he might just say, you know what? No, I'm just going to say no until I get released, and then I can go pick the team I want to play for.
Buster, spring training starts in a week. How many players are we going to see sign, like, 2 days after spring training starts? Or are a lot of guys going to say, look, I'll be willing to sit into the season?
No, it's backed up. What? You know, just under 100 or left in the free agent market. You're going to see, I think, probably 15 a day for one stretch, one spring training starts. And because we've seen the last few years, the players who sign into March, mid-March, they have struggled so badly. You know, Lance Lynn, Logan Morrison last year, Stephen Drew, Kenny Morales a few years ago. And so teams and agents are very cognizant of that. And so I do think you're going to see a rash of signings here coming up.
Buster, how far is your vehicle moved in this interview?
Exactly. I'm moving pretty well now. I'm doing okay now, but I was stuck back in traffic for a while.
I love it. Buster, always a pleasure, my friend. Be careful driving and enjoy the weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
And I will be talking to you guys from Florida. Can't wait.
Oh, nice. Unbelievable.
Where's the first stop?
And remember, I follow orders. Where do you think I'm going?
I think you're going to Tampa first, or Fort Myers.
You're exactly right. I'm going to Tampa. I'm going to be in Yankee camp. Kirchin's going to be in Red Sox camp, and Jeff Passan's going to be in Phillies camp, waiting for Harper Machado to arrive.
I love it. I love it. Boom. Buster, thank you, buddy. We'll speak to you later.
See you guys.
Thanks, Buster. Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider. Thanks to our friends at Lucky's Trailer and Peterbilt of Vermont. So go ahead and certainly check them out.